Good evening, everyone. Good evening. This is Veronica Entwistle. Well, I'm now an author. My book came out. Hot diggity. So go on to Amazon and buy it, Your Near Life Experience, or How Do I Know When I'm Really Me? And I'm really having a blast now that it's come up, because for any of you who really have a deepening process of wanting to express something you can't quite get your fingers on, you know what I mean? When it finally gets out, you feel like, wow, I've had a baby or something like that. And actually, it has no diapers, but it does have a lot of demands other than that. So I'm very proud of the fact that I doubted and I hung around in the background of my own dream a lot, and now it's open. So I hope to get feedback from you. How are you doing this evening? What's going on? And just before the phone call tonight, my guides were saying, you really need to be talking about the streams of influence that are coming into the world right now. You really need to understand that people have to take action, or your listeners, everybody's got to take action, conscious action, in many, many ways. How many of you were like me in the sense, you don't have to be like me, but here's an aspect of being like me that perhaps we could share, and that I had this concept of not being involved in politics or listening to anything that might be negative or any of that sort of thing. So I have been quite ignorant about the political situation on the planet. But then all of a sudden, a lot of us were bidden to start paying attention, pay attention, pay attention, because we're creating our reality, right? But some of the realities that are being created can be mesmerizing. We can be swept up in the wild waves of what's going on out there and not know any better. So, for example, that is how we become victimized, right? So like in the Auschwitz days, the number of people that get caught in the wild waves of the lobbying and the whatever it was that Hitler was doing, which was so incredibly charismatic, and people saying to one another, well, it can't happen here, it's not going to happen here, oh my gosh, they wouldn't do that, would they? Or people going, I must be better than they are, or they wouldn't be being corralled. It was horrendous, and I'm not just speaking of that. There's been atrocities, and there's been mass murders all over the world, and a lot of people have done very little, but by the latest Gap clothing or found our great organic outlet. And meanwhile, there's incredible atrocities going on all over the world. So there's somebody was asking me the other day, well, how do we receive that in our consciousness if we're going to study what's going on politically? Well, let's circle around. I'm not sure that I have all the answers to that. Neither do you, right? But if we put our heads together, if we move into a state of oneness, we can perhaps grok or truly understand the different ways of handling the terrorism thing and so on. And like the guides are saying, you need to pay attention to a lot of waves of what's going on. One of the waves that's going on is that from the universes, there are amazing fields, amazing lights coming in and penetrating our planet, our reality. And that we've been told by a number of great teachers that you have the ability to sort of reach up. I like to say, with your mind as a sculpting tool, reach up and grab or embrace or embody or integrate with a lot of the higher fields in frequency. How do you know you're doing that? Because sometimes you'll get bopped around by changing fields of energy, and you'll find yourself going, I know what's happening. I can't really think the way I did before. All of a sudden, you might get blasted with a feeling of love and tolerance. You might get blasted with a feeling of chaos. Like what's happening with you? Sometimes when the chaos hits, and there's a lot of that going on, remember, we have to go into chaos in order to create. Because if you go on to a pattern, right? What was it Einstein said? If you do the same thing that you've always done, hoping for a different result, that's craziness, isn't it? We all knew for years and years that we have to go into chaos in order to create. So these universal downloads are wonderful, wonderful fields and frequencies that are coming in. And if you very consciously reach up, as I say, with your mind as a sculpting tool, or with your mind as a reaching, grabbing, holding, loving kind of interaction with new downloads and so on, you'll find yourself changing inside. You'll find yourself dislodging kind of blocked feelings, maybe feelings of stagnant defense, or feelings of fear, or feelings of, I don't know where it's all going, some political session or another, you know, I don't know where it's all going to go. Put your head back, breathe a lot, reach into your higher self, and call in waves of light that are coming. Call them, select them. We talk about creating a reality. We talk about change the energy, change the reality. Well, when you call in fields of frequency that are all about love and transformation, you will feel differently. I promise you, you will feel differently. And as you feel differently, guess what? You will create differently. You know? And it's happening to more and more and more people. So we have the terrorism, and we have the awareness that the whole thing about nutrition and Monsanto, and not just Monsanto, but the GMO stuff, the incredible poisons that we put throughout our planet, the reduction of our ability to grow healthy foods ourselves because everything has been polluted, or we've been wooed into being dominated by agribusiness, right? We've got pharma business, the pharmacies that are polluting our, some drugs are okay, but a lot of the pharmacy stuff has really taken herbal medicine and natural affinity that we have to interact with the intelligence of plants and made themselves a middleman that not only ratchets up the chemical composition of things, but makes it impossible for you to trust in what they say are uneven loads of certain herbal things. I mean, I know that there are situations that are different, but I'm just saying that we're in a time on the planet. I just have this horrible feeling that this headset's not working right. But anyway, this is a time on the planet where you and I, as the guides were saying, have to reach up with our mind and choose certain frequencies. We also have to be running them through our body. So you're looking at what's happening with our amazing election. You know, we're looking at of the fracas of entertainment in the election. We're looking at a bot election. We're looking at the fraudulent promises, because a lot of the people that are speaking, I better not get into who's who, but a lot of the people that are speaking are bought and paid for, are really kind of the front for some of the world billionaire class, which is taking over tons and tons of the resources and also the projects of healing the planet. I mean, deception is in the air. You notice that? So we have to reach up and reach past a lot of that. So being afraid of it, we have to be radiating out at a higher level. Now, Eckhart Tolle and several other people have talked about there's going to be two Earths. One is the Earth where a lot of these beings are going to grab hold of their increasing power level on the financial level and all these other levels. They're going to grab hold of it. They don't want to relinquish any of it. They're worried about, for example, Medicare or Social Security or feeding babies. Worry about like the kinds of things that people could do if they had a community consciousness of loving one another, right? Loving one another, we would have the consciousness of making sure everyone had enough, right? So what we've got is this society, this one part of, when we're talking about the two Earths, we've got a society on one part that is hanging on for dear life and not wanting to breach the security that they are supposedly establishing within themselves. And, you know, the is it BP, the big Gulf oil thing, and now they're drilling right there where the land is precarious under the ocean. Those guys are just going to keep going and keep going and keep going, and maybe they're going to get rich and all that. Well, they may even get planned. But the whole, that whole reality is a reality, okay? If you look at it like a pie or something, that is the reality. People are establishing more and more and more and more and more and more, and that's what they want to do. Now, there's a lot of other people, and you might be one of those. I'd like to be one of those myself, who are establishing a new awakening. We're awakening to the fact that we are a very, very powerful species, a very, very capable of empowering ourselves and one another, capable of doing a lot of healing work, capable of free energy that can empower all aspects of our life, capable of transdimensional behavior. I mean, that's a bit freaky for some people, but there are people that do that, capable of creating rain, capable of creating crops, capable of stepping out of your karmic stuff and your linear step, capable of moving yourself. I like to see us as having amazing spectral hues, spiraling, colorful lights moving up through your body and having a vibrational vehicle of light that in itself is what, it's the one that has the great vaulted visions. It's the part of us that sees way beyond the stultifying reality of a duty third dimension. We can see way beyond that. You can feel it, I can feel it. We know there's something way beyond it, right? So your vibrational vehicle of light is very, very, I want to say it's gossamer, but that's not the right word, is it? It feels very, very soft in a lot of ways, but it's fierce and it's really hard. And it has that kind of ability to move dimensions. So your vibrational vehicle of life is also known as the Merkaba. And the Merkaba is the vehicle that takes you through as many dimensions as you've been through and that you want to go. And I don't know the exact mechanics of it, but I know when we die, it can work with us. Somebody told me today that last night they were watching a thing on TV, and it was talking about microbial. She wasn't sure what the title of it was. Something to do with microbial something. And I realized that what she was recapping for me, and if any of you saw this, you might be able to phone and let us know what it was. But it was saying that in the little microbes that the microbes that I have, microbes that you have, okay, are different because they are also loaded with our individuality. So I believe that we're all one. We're all pieces of the same pie. But I'm the only one in the universe that's me, and you're the only one in the universe that's you. And apparently, our little microbial selves, each little teeny microbe is the ones around me that create apparently kind of like a sheath around me. This is what I'm getting third hand or fifth hand or something, so I'll have to do some research to see if it's really true. But there's something about it that is true, because I can feel it in my heart and soul, is that the frequencies that I radiate have my own flavor, if you will, or my own personality in them, as far out as they go, you see? So if you think about that, if you think about that, and we're talking about empowering our humanity, empowering our little beingness, right? If you think about that, you go, oh yeah, see, our selfness, right, is capable of going into the universe and still maintaining the personal integrity. It's quite an amazing thing. So if you think about the dog eat dog greedy aspect of life on the planet, if we let a bunch of people over here starve and shoot me even to the hill, and we don't have to feed them, we don't have to share our space because I'm terrified I might lose some of my power, right? Okay, that's one reality. Now the other reality that you and I are trying to learn is how to unlock, you know, if you do your cell phone, when to change their capacity, right, to be flexible. We want to unlock the belief driven, or the DNA driven, or just the cellular, driven aspects of control that have kept us strictly three dimensional. I think it's Jim Self who talks about the fourth dimension is really going into your mind and creating, right? And the fifth dimension is really being in what you're creating. So much so that you wouldn't actually be in touch with or see other people that are not there. Think about it. It's so exciting. And people like Peter Calhoun, I often refer to him. I just really love him. And he talks about how he learned that he could bilocate, not because he just sat around and hummed and until he could bilocate. No. It just started happening and suddenly find himself like half a block away or here or there. And people are going, hey, where's Peter gone? He was right here, you know? And it's because, right? Because like you and like me, he was tuning his body in such a way that not just his body, his mind, but also his central nervous system, also his ka, his energy body, his soul body, however you want to call it. I think he uses the term ka, and that's the Egyptian term, I believe, for I better be careful here because I really don't know this after producing research. I just got a book so I can interview somebody who came in the mail today. It's all about Egyptian magic and healing and all that, so I'm going to be in there as well. But anyway, if you work with yourself on a meditative level, you can move yourself out of these locked-in patterns of thoughts and feelings and beliefs. How many of you have had to really work hard in family of origin? I think most of us have to. I mean, that's part of the game, isn't it? We choose someone as parents because we need the pressure, or we need the formatting, or we need the influence that they're going to do so that so we can suffer? No. So we can shine? No. So that you can choose the aspects of yourself that you want to refine. And are you going to just continue what their process is? Or are you going to refine yourself, make some choices, reach out to the universes with your mind as a sculpting tool and start creating directional, like for example, bilocation, for example, healing, for example, being aware of what your chakras are doing at any given time. Starting to tune in to things like that. And why bother with the chakras? Because if you understand, if you learn, and this is the process of learning, what each chakra is doing, you can figure out when you're clogged, when you're slow, when you're clogged by other people's influence, other people's expectations, by your own fear. And you can also start studying, and I was told this many years ago, if you're going to learn about your chakras, get the basic outline and then start to study your own. So here you are, say you're in a state of frustration because of the horrible Parisian thing or the terrorist thing or the huge deaths that are going on in Africa. Or, you know, whatever it is that you're distressed about. That's really a time to go into your body and really take a look at your chakras and see what they're doing. And, you know, it really helps us to bring up the pain and the struggle and the fear of death in the base chakra, the terrible torment for people. And it really helps us to do that and then spin that chakra and make it bright, clear red, right? And then you're taking yourself out of the attraction for those things. And when you see it another way, you could say that you're taking yourself out of the consciousness that would propel those things forever and ever, you know? I mean, if you look at the Bible and the ancient tomes of religious teaching and so on, it's all the same stuff. I mean, Cain and Abel were Adam and Eve's kids, and one of them killed the other one. It's like, it's been murder and mayhem for thousands of years, ladies and gentlemen. Let's stop it. And I'm saying to you, I don't think it'll stop because it has its own momentum, but you and I can stop feeling trapped by that kind of consciousness. Stop feeling that it's inexorably, it's a reality that you have to be caught in. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do here? You know, you've got to, you know, the old mind rise above it, my friend. Well, that's exactly what we have to learn to do. So you go into your red chakra, you experience like the deep trauma, the survival issue that's coming up when you hear people shooting at one another, and the gun lobby is saying it's our right to bear arms just in case somebody takes us over. Well, they're taking us over, so that's kind of ironic that people don't even know that that's what they're doing. So on it goes. Now, see, I'm preaching, aren't I? I'm like really getting into this political stuff, because what they talk about is this is supposed to be the age of Revelation, the book of Revelation in the Bible. I'm not a Bible scholar, but I know that this is supposed to be the time of the book of Revelation. And everybody thought it was about the book of, like, the turmoil of getting beaten up because you've been bad or whatever, and you're going to have plagues and all the rest. But I keep thinking Revelation means revealing. And how many things have you and I learned lately that are going on against what we would expect, like in the government, and they have for a long, long time, and in inventions and in medical things. I mean, if you start studying it for thousands of years, really good medical interventions have been stopped for the sake of maintaining whatever the market is selling at the time. You know, like, we're not a society that looks at our potential for invention and goes, oh my gosh, this is going to really evolve us. It's like, nope, we've got to stay stable and we've got to keep that market that way. So you have your, maybe that's what conglomerates mean, because the gloms, you know, they're glomming onto their market share. I better be quiet, because right now I'm getting kind of steamed up about what is going on the planet and wanting to hasten and wanting us to speed up our ability to literally rise above it. And you can, and I can, and I want you to envision from the base of your spine up through your body all the colorful chakras, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet, Roy G. Biv, as we learned it, and see the light in them kind of spiraling up through your body. It's a nice activity, it's a nice meditational activity that helps you, like a corkscrew, take energy out of or experience the elixir or the juice of your experience and then spiral it right up through your body mind in order to increase your consciousness. What does consciousness mean? But to me, it's a state of change. You know, what's your consciousness? Well, mine, I always want it to change. I want it to expand. I want it to grow. I want to see myself as one with you. I want to learn about the not only the amazing, confusing tangles that we all have deep in our psyche and our unconscious, but I want to learn to perceive those. So instead of taking it personally, I see each of us with our funny little spiraling lights can extricate ourselves from the real demand of these old vibrational fields that have been implanted in us by past experience, usually by trauma or by, it can be by laughter, a lot of it's through trauma, or through our mom's trauma or our dad's trauma, right? So I want you to call in tonight. Now, are you going to do that or not? And so let's do our sacred geometric structure, and then let's see what happens. Take a couple of deep breaths. Right. Above your head, about 2 miles, the golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And now drop a beautiful filament of gold light from the upper golden ball down through your spine into the lower golden ball. Good. And now from the upper golden ball to about waist height, and now push it way out so you can play under it. Drop a pyramid, a beautiful gold pyramid. And now upside down, we're going to point right into the lower golden ball with our other pyramid, and the bases of the pyramid meet. And there you have this wonderful, wonderful diamond shape. Oh, it's just delightful. And inside the diamond shape, there you are. No, it's not that simple. I'm sorry, I kind of didn't flip. Okay, so inside that diamond shape, we're going to create a crystal ball. And as that crystal ball turns and spins, see those beautiful shimmering spectral hues that just sparkle off it. Oof, it's lovely. And it's a very, very feminine feeling. It feels softer and sweeter when you're inside of that. And now the next thing you're going to be inside of is your star tetrahedron, three-dimensional Star of David. Yeah, and that's your Merkabah. That's your light body, isn't it? That's the vehicle you will use to shift dimensions. And inside of that, we see you. But now we're going to have you spin and spin and spin in your Merkabah, in your light body. Spin and spin and spin. And while you do, spin, no, we've got to spin all fibers, but slowly in. Okay, spin and spin and spin. Good. And as you spin, look in front of you. There's these magical screens. And in those magical screens, we're going to put some movies. We're planting the seeds of our dream. But we're going to make them happen, okay? So the first movie you put on the screen on the left, and it's you becoming what it is you want to become. What I want to become is consciously multidimensional. That's part of that wanting to be very unlimited. Yeah. And when I see myself become that, I go, woohoo! And then I move on to the next thing. What do you want to become? To see yourself, whatever it is you want to become. When you see yourself achieving it, woohoo! Let's go to the next screen. And on that screen, we're going to create you doing something you really want to do. Maybe it's creating home and family and having a baby, finding a career, finishing college, traveling the world over. Maybe it is about transdimensional. Maybe you want to go off in a spaceship. Or maybe you want to use your Merkabah to transform and to go through different dimensions, go anywhere you want. Good. All right. You have to hang on a sec because I have a buzzer going. Just hang on one sec, please. So there we are. And so perhaps we're shifting dimensions. Perhaps we're writing a book. Perhaps we're creating a movie. Perhaps we're doing out-of-body travel. And see all the resources coming to you to create this amazing art. And all the people, too. You want to create it with the help of the people that know how. Good. And now when you get to the point of your project becoming a success, that you could stop and go, woo! But then we want to see enough resources, time, people, money, all that it's going to take for your project to sustain itself for as long as it needs to sustain. It means when it runs out of its own natural life force, then you can give up on all that, right? Good. So now wrap that in light, let it go over to the left, and then I want to see us open the galactic healing center. Now, we've talked about this every week, and the Galactic Healing Center is stocked by beings of light that come from your healing team, your beautiful, beautiful healing team. These are amazing beings. And from your healing team, select the best healers that you could imagine. Good. And now we've got a table there, and you're going to be the first person to lie on that table and ask this healing team that's surrounding the table. Yeah, we're asking them for some help. And they're going to talk to you about what it is you want to work on. Good.
Aloha. Can you see in their faces? My first thought is that my beings are not normal earth beings. I think they're part, I don't know what they are, but they're not earth beings. And they have these eyes that seem to go on forever. And there's so much love coming from them. And I'm asking if they help and know there's a need. And they tell me that I need to release, and let go. They love this because they're telling me that the very force transformation that I want is within my own grasp, that I grasp is the problem. When I grasp, right, it's like hanging on to something if you want to do it right, as opposed to surrendering and letting it come to me, the guidance of the amazing being. So let's wrap that in light. You could tell me, you can call in and tell me all about what you're experiencing here. And now let's bring in another table. Mm-hmm. Now here's something interesting. I know a woman, and she's been through a lot this year, a huge amount this year. And she is coming and she's lying on our table, and she has these grand, long, kind of tumor-like things that are more like some sort of, you know, we're talking about microbial expression earlier. Some sort of expression in her body. These are very painful, very uncomfortable, but they're not malignant. Apparently they grow back if they cut them up, so she suffers with them. But it's really interesting because I'm looking at them and I keep saying to Spirit, like, you can, all of us, we can together focus on her spine, right? Her belief structure. And now we could do this for anybody you want to work on, but let's work on this person. Go into the base of your spine and ask your healing team to help her. But what my feeling is that we can convince that reactive part of the body, which is reflecting something, perhaps victim or someone who's holding themselves back or someone who's, you know, make up a metaphor for what, who would have these incredibly huge kind of cyst-like things on her body that really, really hurt and come up after a lot of terribly emotional traumatic moments, you know? So let's say those things are expressions. So let's run through her body with the healing team. And they're working through her. They're actually going into the ganglion at the base of the spine and the ganglion at the base of the skull. And they're showing a huge kind of a vibrational influence. I can feel it running through my body, running through my hands. A vibrational influence which is unhooking a drive to create this kind of expression. Somewhere deep down, the payoff for that expression is kind of a recognition that, yeah, this has been gnarly, and oh yeah, I've been weighed down by it. Or you can make up all the things that you can interpret here. But my friend, when I'm watching her and going, wow, this is incredible, and I can't help but feel that she can change it. And perhaps we want to change something dramatically. Perhaps we want to enlist. A friend of mine used to say, you need 7 people anyway to have a healing team so they can help you work your way out of something or help you create what it is you want. So let's wrap her in light. Isn't it interesting? I always fall back on Lynn McTaggart. She did the intention experiment. And with the intention experiment, there was this fellow. The intention experiment had 3 labs around the world. Right? And so people would send in what their intention, which intention they wanted to focus on that week, okay? And one time a fellow came in and he had spondylosis. He was quite a dapper fellow in his, I think, 50s or 60s or something. And he couldn't stand up straight anymore. He'd been to all the best doctors and specialists and so on. And he couldn't stand up straight and they couldn't do anything to help him. So he finally said, what do I have to lose? Put me on the intention experiment, which was a worldwide, global internet thing. And results would be tabulated.
But anyway, within 2 weeks of being in the minds and in the intentional focus, his spondylosis had decreased, and this guy was walking and was out of pain. This is within 2 weeks. I like stories like that because they really tell you a whole lot about our etheric body. I heard another story yesterday from a fellow who teaches Qigong. He runs a thing in Vancouver called the Qigong Gym, or the original Yin. He's a Taiwanese Qigong expert. He's also an amazing healer. And he was talking about what creates difficult pain and how parts of the body, like I have a sore wrist, and he was saying that when you have pain, and this might be relevant to a lot of you, but I thought this was a bit magic-y too, that for my wrist, it would be easier for me to heal my left wrist if I matched all the activities I was doing with it with my right wrist. Okay, because he called it sympathy. So in the Chinese medicine terms, that the sympathy means that there's an interaction with some other part of the body, and that would really help me or anybody who's got a pain on one side of their body, is like making sure that you're balancing with the other side of the body. Then he told me the story about a fellow who literally lost his right arm, I think, and they didn't know how to help him, and he had terrible phantom pain. And if anybody here has had terrible phantom pain, it's just excruciating, and they never know how to help it. But they helped him in a different kind of way, going back into the sympathy from one arm to the other, one hand from the other. They created this box of mirrors, and one arm was in there really easily, right? And there was an apple in there. And now his phantom arm was also in there. But it looked like he really had an arm in there because of the mirroring effect. I can't quite figure out what the picture was like. But anyway, that's what it looked like. And so by the time he... Anyway, so back to the mirror box. So picture this guy has no right arm. The left arm is very carefully mirrored in this box. So you can see two hands, right? But there's a mirror and there's an apple there. And I think it's that the left arm picks up the apple, the guy eats it or something. But because of the mirroring effect, the excruciating pain somehow disappears. There is no pain. That there's it's something about the arm that was missing was being mirrored by the other arm that was in there in this box, and something about eating the apple, and that, which I kind of missed that part of it. But in any case, what happened is because of the reflection of the arm that was missing and the other arm, as if they were both there, the pain suddenly disappeared, and that person had no more phantom pain from then on. And the teacher fellow, who's really a brilliant healer, said it was very interesting because we don't realize how parts of our body need to have empathy, that need to be worked with in a way that is harmonizing. And sometimes that'll help with a lot of things. So when I think about my friend who has these huge cysts, I go, okay, so we have to kind of work with that and educate ourselves to communicate directly in the body to convince the cellular structure, the DNA, or the reactive force, or the ganglion, whichever ones you can really relate to, you can actually get in there and feel them and convince them to express their emotion in a different way. One of the other things is learning what the emotions are that are represented by this thing. That is a really important thing. And that's one of my favorite things of doing in healing is, what is the feeling that's locked in that sore ankle? What is the feeling? I mean, a lot of you have knee problems because we really bend our legs a lot. And as you get a little older and you have some challenges and you love to jump and climb and everything else, your knees can start getting worn out, right? My understanding is they don't really have to wear out if you can stop leaving some of the storage there. We got to clean up our house and we got to clean up our bodies. Because in the knees, we're holding a lot of fear of flexibility, need for flexibility, right side is the parents, the male parent. Left side is the female parent. So you got your dad on the right and your mom on the left. And remember, your knee is fear and flexibility. You just start making it up. What does it mean? The legs themselves represent support. Lower part of the leg is early childhood experiences. Upper part of the leg is the strength of the parent or the archetype, the archetypal male or female. So you see, I'm thinking that in the healing world, sometimes the magic comes from unlocking what these things mean. You know, like what, why would my knee really be sore? What am I afraid of? And every time I walk forward, my ankle hurts or something, you know? And why do I develop lumps when I'm panic stricken, you know? Because I can't really allow myself to express it consciously in the world, can I? Okay, let's go on to another person. We're going to bring in someone else to be in structures. And this person's coming in. Oops, it looks like a male and a female. I'm asking if they're, I see. Okay, so we have a really, really difficult one. We have one who's on the other side. Mm-hmm. And he's a suicide. Yes, and we're going to see, bring him in and have him lie down. And we're going to feel, wrap yourselves in light, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to feel his pain and his frustration and his agony, right? We're going to feel that. Because he wouldn't have done that if he weren't very, very frustrated. And it's also a condition of mental health, isn't it? And a lot of us have been discussing lately how we don't know what to do when someone's a mental health victim or patient or whatever we call it. Because it's very disquieting. It's really uncomfortable. So when I look at this fellow who's youngish, I see him and I go, oh my gosh. His journey about, I'm asking the guides and angels to help him a lot because he's sort of stuck right now. He's been over there for 2 years. It's not very long. And his journey was very confusing. And he left in a state of, it's kind of a vengeance. He wanted to get even because there's something in him that's such, is feeling such deep loss about who he is in life. Now remember, it's all about me, meaning if you don't know who you are, you really, that's the job you've got to figure out. Because loving yourself will give you the greatest strength and the greatest ability to work in the world with, you know, with alacrity, with enthusiasm. So, but you got to spend some time loving yourself, right? Am I right or am I left? So now we have this little, this young man who's got, there he is. And now you and I and the guides are working on his head. It's as if he's corporeal and he's in the body. And they're working on his head. And they're working on his... I think it's just his spinal cord, the whole central nervous system. Because what I'm seeing is it's all over the place. It's like a real thick viscosity. There's a very, very thick vibration that's coming off his head and moving through his body. And they're saying he found when there were moments where he would dip into this kind of feeling, he didn't know where to go. He didn't know who to talk to. And yeah, he was married all right, but his wife also had her own situation. So their clashes were deeply painful for one another. This is the thing we have to remember in our lives, that we can say, I don't know how he can stand her. I don't know how she can stand him. Well, guess what? They have some kind of contract together and they're reflecting, talk about reflecting sympathy and all that, back and forth. Deep hurt or deep pain or deep confusion or deep, oh, it can be deep dreams as well, right? And so I feel badly for his wife, but I also feel like she has her own deep, deep anxiety and deep question about who she is and whether she's a valuable being. So the guides are saying to really love this man. They're just surrounding him with light and surrounding him with their angels all around him. And he's getting softer. It's funny, I have no way of proving what I'm saying, but he's getting much softer as we work on him. He's getting less, he to me looked like an emotional, like we talked about having to go into chaos in order to create. It was chaotic, emotionally chaotic. Huge aspects of him holding itself back, holding itself together, and mistrusting that anyone could hear him. And yet there are people all around him grieving, people that are missing him very much at this point. And people who did not know how to reach out to him. When you need to reach out to someone, let yourself be confused, because you're reaching out to someone who has no idea why he feels a certain way. So he's allowed to be confused, and you're allowed to feel that empathetic response. So let's wrap him in light. He's getting much softer now. And the guides standing around here, the ones with the huge eyes, standing around him are truly softening his resolve. His resolve was to make himself safe. He was softening it. He is safe now. Yeah. Not recommending this particular route. He's got a long healing ahead of him. Well, I don't know about long, because there's no time over there, so. But it's not going to be an easy journey for him at this point. But you know what? Maybe it never has been. And if you love him, and I can love him, and certainly our healing beings love him very much, that's the fuel it takes. That's the free energy that we talked about earlier. Now let's wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And now we're going to do our political one, right? And in the political, there we are. Let's have this great big healing table. And in the political arena, let's see, I don't know how many of you are distressed by the amount of lying and deception and dog-eat-dog stuff and government intervention or government deceptions or number of interactions between different governments that we don't know about till 30 years later, and we find out our own government's just involved in something we thought was out there. It's almost like everything's in me. Everything I think is out there is going to come back to me. It's the same thing. It's just like we're a microcosm of that very thing. So let's try to put all, like, some of the major leaders up on this table. We want Obama, right? We want the French fellow and English and Russian. And we're going to have all these different leaders, world leaders. And we're going to ask the healing team to replicate themselves so that there's a whole healing team around each and every one of them. Yeah. And we're going to ask to be shown how they can be guided, they could be supported, they could support all of us in our will to try to encourage a new, what would we call it, a new creativity of embodying some sort of faith and some transparency and some honesty and any levels of power that impact people. We should do it all the time anyway, but it really isn't something that's been happening in our governmental systems, has it? Okay, there we go. And we're going to ask for truth. We're going to ask for, it's not altruism. Yeah, well, I guess it's altruism. It's looking after the needs of all life, and it's not sort of egregiously stealing from this and that in order to make our coffers fat. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we want to see all the beings that are leading, being willing to stick their neck out and lead for the sake of the higher good of all people. Can you imagine what people on this planet would be like if we were allowed to really further our inventions and our out-of-body travel and our creative instincts and our ability to have consciousness about the food we eat and what it does to the brain and what the stuff we do in the dirt and what it does to our food and the treatment of the ocean and the mountains. And we really looked at each other in one another's eyes and had absolute respect for one another. Wouldn't that be amazing? You know what? I think it's possible. What do you think? Now, are any of you going to call in? Is this the night that you're not going to call in? I hope not, because I would really like it if you did. Where are you, some of you beings out there? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to bring in the light. We're going to bring in the healing team. And have the healing team, as I said, replicate themselves and stand around each one of these beings of power. There we are. And we're going to send the light up through their perineum. And we want to do that for China. Any of these countries that are really, really powerful and really need to express their might in a way that's more than altruistic. It's a win-win, right? Win-win for us, and a win-win for the planet, and a win-win for the atmosphere, right? There you go. Isn't that exciting? That's it. I'm just going to feel the light go up through the perineum and just fill, just flood these beings with light. Then if you want, you can put them each in a structure. Okay, and those nice, that diamond shape, and have each of them in that, and then spin and spin and spin them. You know, because this may not seem like it's making any difference, but it does. Somewhere along the way, those golden threads of energy shift are able to penetrate the minds and hearts of some of the most difficult people on this planet. Not that they're all difficult, but they've got an agenda that isn't exactly the same as all of ours. I want humanity to thrive. I want Mother Earth to thrive. I want the atmosphere to thrive and all the animals and the fishes and all that. There you go. And see the light moving up through these beings. And see each of them embracing Mother Earth. Oh, goody, we have a caller. And while they embrace Mother Earth, we're going to embrace our caller. Good evening.
Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, how are you? Hi, from Canada.
Yeah, me. Yeah.
How are you?
Well, I've moved and I'm settling in, and my little cat is still with me.
Oh.
And being his nursemaid, and I know he doesn't have forever, but I've been doing that prayer, dear God, guides, angels, beings of love and light, I'm asking for the most benevolent outcome for the health of my beloved pet.
Aww, that's a wonderful prayer.
It is, and I did it for the move, and I did it for, you know, there's lots of miracles happening. I keep pulling the miracle card, and I just I had my first Reiki share last week.
Oh, good.
So I'm determined not to be a recluse like I was at the other place.
Well, I just want to say, and we have another caller, Natty, so I'm going to, because it's almost the end of the show, I'm going to take the other caller. And yes. But I'm going to send you light, and I'm so pleased to see your light. Be bright, and love to your kitty, too. So thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right. I think we're at the end of our tether here. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. I hope that you're really working with your own structures. I love Nadia's call. I hope you're working with your own structures and paying attention to the fact you're the only one in the universe that's you. And let's keep talking about how we can move out of our bodies. And when you're working with the news, and when you're working with being realistic about what's going on there, remember to raise your own fields and frequencies, change the energy, change the reality, praise everything you can, be grateful for everything you can, and most of all, learn to love yourself and one another and the planet. Thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design, and we'll talk to you again soon. Much love, Veronica. Oh, email me, veronica@veronicaantwistle.com. Love to talk to you and find out what's going on in your world. Good night.